You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a poll out today shows Governor Scott Walker slipping from first to fifth place for the Republican nomination among likely Republican caucus goers in Iowa. We'll get the latest on Governor Walker's presidential campaign.
First, while a lot of media attention has been focused on the GOP side of things, with its 15-plus candidates duking it out, there's been plenty of intrigue on the Democratic side of the race lately.
Going into the election season, Hillary Clinton seemed like a lock for the Democratic nomination, but as questions continue to dog Clinton about her use of a private email account during her time as Secretary of State, her support among potential voters appears to be shrinking, possibly opening the door for Bernie Sanders or even Joe Biden to make a serious play for the nomination.
Here with us now to break down what's happening on the Democratic side of the presidential race is Susan Johnson. She's Assistant Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences and Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, glad to be here.
Let's start with the Hillary Clinton campaign. A lot of the talk in the media is along the lines of, sure, she's still the front runner, but she's falling in the polls. Some Democrats are looking for an alternative. Still a lot of support there. What is your read of the Hillary Clinton campaign at this stretch?
I guess my read on the campaign is that you're always going to have a significant portion of your party's base that isn't necessarily going to like the person who's been designated as the front runner. So I'm not terribly surprised that she's not seeing 100% support. And I think it's important to remember that she's still polling at close to 50% in some of the recent polls. So, I mean, I guess that's my quick picture take on things. But I would say her people also have to be concerned that there's so much attention being paid to the fact that she's, I guess, struggling a bit, and also the rise in popularity of Bernie Sanders and how well he's been doing in terms of getting people to attend his rallies. And then there's the idea of Vice President Biden looming in the background as well.
Is that a concern that a lot of people maybe assume that Hillary Clinton will be the candidate? They are mostly okay with it, but maybe they don't feel that passion, and so that's what's getting some people excited about a Bernie Sanders or another alternative?
Well, I think a lot of the excitement about Bernie Sanders is coming from the progressive base of the Democratic Party, and the idea being that Hillary Clinton is quite a centrist Democrat, and I feel that there's people on the left who are a bit disaffected by what her role has been in Democratic politics for the past 20 or so years. And so there's a lot of excitement being generated by the Sanders campaign, getting tens of thousands of people to come to his rallies. And I think it's because a certain segment of the Democratic Party really sees themselves aligning with his policy views much more so than they do with hers.
Is that driving her to maybe change her views, or at least her focus in this race, to issues of inequality? I know lately she's talked some about revolving door relationships of politicians and staff moving into lobbying. Is she being driven to focus on issues she might not have focused on otherwise?
Right. Yeah, I would agree that that's what's going on. What generally happens when you've got a presumptive nominee and a challenge coming from either the right or the left, in Hillary Clinton's case, the left, you oftentimes will see that the dialogue or the debate gets pushed in a direction that the front runner doesn't want to necessarily see it go. So absolutely, as Bernie Sanders is talking more about issues related to income inequality and minimum wage and other sorts of things, from a much more of a populist perspective than, say, Hillary Clinton would be, it definitely forces her to recalibrate some of her message to try to recapture some of what she's losing.
Do you see parallels? You mentioned this can happen on the Republican side, too. And I'm thinking of the last presidential race where Mitt Romney came into the Republican primary as the establishment candidate, the one everybody thought would win. He had to go through a lot of ups and downs, though, on the way to there. Are there lessons there, similarities that we can observe in this Democratic primary?
Yes, there are. And I would say it's not only Mitt Romney in 2012, but John McCain in 2008, where we saw both of them moving significantly to the right of where their historical positions had been. And you would see a bit of the same thing going on right now with Hillary Clinton, given the fact that the challenge is coming from the left. If we think about 2008, when Hillary Clinton ran against John Edwards and Barack Obama as the three primary candidates, they were all ideologically fairly similar. In fact, Barack Obama on many issues was to the right of Hillary Clinton, even though the public didn't really, I think, seem to grasp that. But they were pretty close, the three of them, and so you didn't have to see as much repositioning. But when you have a candidate like you do now with Bernie Sanders, who is clearly to the left, he runs under the socialist tag in Vermont when he has been elected to the Senate, that there's a clear distinction there. And she's really going to need to react to that, because he's generating a lot of excitement and buzz from that segment of the Democratic Party.
Talking to UW Whitewater political scientist Susan Johnson about the Democratic race for president. Well, let's stay with Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton. This is an issue that comes up on the Republican side, too. How much are people weighing, hey, this candidate really matches my ideology, I'm excited about their views and their policies, versus electability? And I may not agree quite exactly with this person, but I think they have a better shot at winning. How do primary voters balance those two instincts?
I think primary voters, to a certain degree, take their cues from the media on electability once we get closer. So I think that what we're seeing now are some of Bernie Sanders' numbers, I would argue, are a bit inflated, because you have people who he's generating excitement, and therefore they're gravitating towards him. But I believe that particularly as we get into the caucuses and primaries, that issue of electability that we're already seeing, and a lot of his supporters are very upset that almost every comment about him is prefaced with, but he can't win. But let's talk about Bernie Sanders anyway. So what I think is going to happen is that that's going to become louder. And as we move further into the process, what we will likely see is that causing some people who were initially excited about him, or they still might remain excited about him, but they begin to realize that that issue of electability is a real issue that needs to be addressed within the Democratic Party.
One issue that's being seen as leaving the door open for Democrats not named Hillary Clinton is this email thing, her State Department emails using a private server, 6,000 more pages of emails released to the public today, and a big piece in the New York Times last week, lots of Democrats critical, not of Clinton herself, but of her campaign's handling of the email issue. What do you think Hillary Clinton needs to do to put this issue behind her, if that's possible at this point?
I don't know that it's possible to put it behind her completely, but what I think she's already start to do is recognize that this is a real issue. For the first few months, I would say that this was front and center, and again, being pushed front and center, not so much by voters, but by people in the media who have been asking and speaking about this, and also Republicans in Congress who are very interested in this topic. But what I think she did originally was she was kind of flip about it and didn't address it head on in a serious way. Within the last few weeks, I believe that her campaign, she have realized that this is not going away, and it feeds that narrative that I think hangs around her neck about the secretiveness, whether it's true or not, some of the arrogance, whether it's true or not, and that she's had to come forward and be more forthright in recognizing that perhaps a mistake was made, and should she have been given the opportunity again, she might have done things differently. And I think that's going to help her with voters more so than trying to push it aside in a flippant manner.
We're talking with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, looking at the Democratic side of the presidential race. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234.
If you're a Democratic voter, which candidate are you supporting at this point in the race, and why? Do you think it's Hillary's race to lose, or has the door been opened wide enough for somebody else to sneak in? And what issues are important to you in this race? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up that conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with political scientist Susan Johnson about the Democratic presidential candidates, with Hillary Clinton falling some in the polls. Some observers think it could be a chance for Bernie Sanders or even Joe Biden to pose a serious challenge.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and comments. If Wisconsin's Democratic primary election were held today, who would you vote for? Why? And what issues are on your mind? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. Anthony is on the line with us in Kenosha. Anthony, hi.
Hello. You were talking earlier about Bernie Sanders' electability, and I was just kind of drawn toward his issues as more populist than Hillary Clinton's, for instance, on the Keystone Pipeline and breaking up Wall Street banks and getting big money out of politics, which he doesn't seem to support. So I was just wondering why you think his electability would be less than hers on that front or others.
Anthony, thanks for the call. So especially, I think, when we're talking, as you mentioned, Democratic base voters, Susan Johnson, would Bernie Sanders be more electable because of those policies?
I guess when I think about electability, I'm speaking about the general election, when the electorate is much more moderate, and on some of those issues that Anthony mentioned, there isn't necessarily a consensus that Bernie Sanders' positions are the positions of the majority. I also think that there's a lot of significant amount of, obviously, of name recognition that she brings, which is different from someone like Bernie Sanders. But I just think specifically when you have someone who is elected senator of a small state like Vermont, who also, again, runs as a socialist, there's just issues regarding whether or not independence, when you're thinking about, you know, two candidates who would people would have a choice on, the Democrat and the Republican, that a lot of those people in the middle, the independents or the so-called moderates, would be more likely to vote for the Republican nominee or the Democratic nominee. And if the case is Bernie Sanders, I just believe that more people in that center would be more likely to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Thanks a lot for the call, Anthony. I want to bring another name in here, Joe Biden, vice president. Will he or won't he? Supposedly he's going to announce one way or the other, I think, in September. What would that do to the race? What kind of chances would he have?
Yes, I believe that he's indicated that closer to the end of September is when he would make a decision. It's an interesting situation because you've got a sitting vice president who most people thought wasn't interested in running for president and wouldn't be running for president, so he really wasn't much of a factor. And if you think historically, normally the presumptive front runner is generally the sitting vice president if the sitting vice president decides that he is going to run. So this late discussion that's just come up in the past few weeks about Joe Biden has created an interesting twist, I would say, on the whole issue. I think as far as Joe Biden goes, he's quite similar to Hillary Clinton in terms of the issue positions. They're not 100% similar, but they're fairly similar. They're both centrist Democrats. So I don't see him necessarily as a policy alternative. I see him as someone that perhaps the Democratic establishment is concerned about Hillary Clinton, again, electability, and believe that someone like Joe Biden might be a better alternative for establishment Democrats to coalesce around. I just think that, honestly, that ship has sailed. And the fact is that Hillary Clinton's been ostensibly running for president now for, you know, over a few years, and she's been building up that base of support and raising money, and a lot of the big money supporters and the powerful Democrats have already promised their support to Hillary Clinton. So I don't know where Biden would be able to squeeze himself in there, because the Bernie Sanders voters aren't going to leave Bernie Sanders at this point, I don't see, and go to Joe Biden.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the Democratic presidential race. So no organization, no campaign staff, nothing like that for Joe Biden. It's still a few months off till February, but is that too late in the game to have a shot in a place like Iowa or New Hampshire?
I think that given the way that presidential nomination processes go now, with organizations being set up so far in advance, I think he would enter at a huge disadvantage. I also think that, well, I also read that not too long ago, that he may have commented to people that he wasn't sure that his heart was in it. And I'm not sure how much of this Joe Biden getting in is an artifact of Joe Biden being really serious about potentially getting in, or the buzz around Joe Biden encouraging him or pushing him, or even just pushing the conversation about Joe Biden getting in.
Let's talk about the and the rest in this race. Names like Lincoln Chafee, former Republican, Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, all announced candidates. Is the media being unfair, not giving them much attention, or do they really just not have a shot and they don't deserve that high profile?
Well, I'm looking at some of the polling numbers right now, and all three of those people that you mentioned, they're polling under 2%. I would say that for someone like Martin O'Malley and Jim Webb, O'Malley, I would argue, is running to the left of Clinton. Webb is clearly running to the right of Clinton. My assumption with the candidates like the two of them are that they're running now thinking about perhaps 4 years from now, especially someone like Martin O'Malley, who's been talked about, touted before as an up-and-comer in the Democratic Party, but that has diminished a little bit, or they're running to hopefully be the running mate of whoever the potential nominee ends up being. For someone like Lincoln Chafee, that's a real wild card. And the fact that, as you mentioned, he had been a Republican, he comes from a long family of Republicans in Rhode Island, I'm not sure what his angle is, honestly. But I think with O'Malley and Webb, it may be looking forward, or it may be looking at potentially being the vice presidential nominee. So, no, I don't think it's unfair that they're not getting as much attention.
So five major-ish Democrats versus 17 Republicans. Big difference there. Was it just this the Hillary Clinton factor, that she's got the organization, she's got a lot of the donors, the endorsements from major Democrats, that kept a lot of people from even setting foot in the race?
Yeah, I think that the Democrats don't have the deepest bench is one thing. And then that happens sometimes when you've got a two-term sitting president and someone like Hillary Clinton, who again has been perceived as the nominee in waiting. So I think that a lot of Democrats decided they would sit it out, or didn't form exploratory committees, didn't get into it. So I'm not surprised that we're looking at such a small number of candidates. And I think that a lot of it has to do, again, because Clinton was the perceived front runner for years.
And very briefly, Susan, what's the next thing you're watching for as far as indicators of this race?
Well, it's a ways away, but the first debate, it's not until October, but I'll be curious to see what happens there. There's already some concern that there's not going to be enough debates and things like that, but I'm looking forward to that, because really we haven't been talking about policies as much as I'd like to see, and I'm hoping that debates will allow us to do that.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us, and maybe we'll talk to you around those debates.
I look forward to it.
That's Susan Johnson, Assistant Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences and Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. She joined us to talk about the candidates running for the Democratic presidential nomination.